This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel, and if you've been part of the Disney internet community, you know what just was announced this past Monday, and that is free dining is back in 2016 for select fall days now through July 8th if you purchase a non-discounted Magic Your Way package, which including a three-night minimum stay with Park Hopper and yada, 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 a lot of other things. You'll get free dining. If you want to get that, there's a lot of ways you can do it, but the easiest way for them to guide you through it, make sure you maximize your dollar when it comes to free dining. It's simple. Go to Neverland.com. Now, some people think I'm saying Neverland.com. No, the website domain, go to Neverland.com.
GOTONEVERLAND.com.
You didn't spell out the com.
.com.
There you go. No one says that anymore. They never did. But they have that free dining available right now, and they can help you work your way through that package, make sure you get what you need. Lots of good perks. They sell out pretty much every year, so make sure you get involved very quickly. That's at gotoneverland.com. And all you have to do is
pack.
And as Kyle just told me, you should say, and pack your
bags
and your cutlery, your silverware, because you're free dining.
They don't give you silverware?
You're going to bring your own silverware now?
I mean,
Logan, that's not a good deal.
It's free dining, but it's not free cutlery.
Yeah. It's part of the Shanghai effect.
Go to Neverland.com. And now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, April 27th, 2016, and this is episode
1509.
That's just because I forgot what episode it was. 1509 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And we got a good show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking lots of interesting stuff. Obviously, that free dining rollout happened. We'll probably mention that a little bit over later in listener questions. But for now, we got to start the show with something a little different, and that's a little errors and omissions.
Our comptroller is making us do this.
What is a comptroller?
That's a money thing.
You vote
actually
for it though, right?
I meant ombudsman.
Your ombudsman.
Yeah, a comptroller is like a money person. I meant ombudsman, like old
Price Waterhouse over here.
Ethicist.
Old Ernst & Young. Should we start that?
I like Ernst.
That's okay. Let's restart that whole episode.
All right, fine.
That was going bad.
I liked it.
You did? Okay, then keep going. Fantastic. Okay, Terry says good. We're just going to keep going. You can leave that part in even. There have been a lot of times, look, right now the three of us, we're just talking. We're having a conversation.
Spitball.
It's heard by, tens of thousands of people. But sometimes we get some stuff wrong. And that's okay. And guess what? You know what's also nice? You guys are very quick to clarify when we get something wrong, or if we offend you, or if you have notes, or just in general. And we're actually happy to take them. I love getting them. You can tweet me at WDW Today Podcast, anything you think about the show, good, bad, negative, positive, and you'll probably get a response. So at WDW Today Podcast on Twitter. Now, let's start with where we got things wrong. So around the 11-minute mark.
I'll take a little bit of blame for this. Terry was talking about some of the perks of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and he was talking about something DVC related, which I don't have a general knowledge of. And it had to do with going to the pool, and Logan and I just kind of went with it, and I talked about changing in lobbies and and pool hopping, and now we did later say, Terry, to his credit, said, you're technically not supposed to do this. I said, I'll probably get in trouble for giving specific directions. We did clarify that you're not supposed to. I was talking about pool hopping in general when I got really excited.
Like in your collegiate life.
I loved in college going to different apartment pools, different things, which I probably wasn't supposed to be doing that as well, but it was a little bit more accepted practice at the time. I wasn't specifically saying take away the perks from other people that are paying for the resort at Disney.
I just had brought up, how do you do it? And you said, oh, I know it all.
Yeah.
So it came from Terry saying that you could pool hop between the Animal Kingdom resorts. And I was more saying, if you don't have a place to go stay and you can pool hop, what can you do? Now, we also got a little bit wrong on where you can pool hop and what you can't pool hop at.
And they are constantly changing the DVC rules on where you can hop And when you can hop, they do blockout dates. So as always, consult the front desk or the concierge at your resort.
In general, we just wanted to take some blame over that, saying, sorry, guys, we're not advocating pool hopping. We are advocating enjoying the resorts outside of your home resort, because there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, take advantage of it. Sometimes it's nice to just look at a pool.
Yeah, and we are advocating.
I've never pool hopped, period. Not will pool hopped.
No.
I've never pool hopped in Walt Disney World. So
no, I have pool hopped in your personal pools.
You hopped in a pool.
I've gone from your pool to your parents' pool to a kiddie pool that was at the neighbor's house. Like, I don't know.
You get the cops called on you.
Yeah, that's. I mean, this is over like state. I'm going to different states doing this.
Okay,
this is a whole weird thing that I do.
Will's pool hopping. Pull my pool.
Pullmypool.com.
We'll tell you about that later. That'll be another adventure one day. Speaking of adventures, we have an interesting topic today. And one thing we're going to get to, and I'm write this down. So remember, we got to get to your explanation of why you're the nature boy.
That'll close out.
Let's close out the show today with that, because people ask that all the time. And though it was explained a couple times, let's clear it up. All right, so today we're playing a little armchair imagineering, little having some fun. And as we know, we've seen major improvements coming, or improvements, some say not improvements, but major changes coming too. We had the last thing we had was Magic Kingdom, obviously got new Fantasyland. Now we got Animal Kingdom getting their big overhaul. And obviously then after that, Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land coming to the studio. So next in line has to be Epcot. And if we had to dream it, we want to tell you what we thought would be fun to add to Epcot. And if you have ideas, make sure to chime in, let us know on social media, Facebook or Twitter. Tell us what your thoughts are on all the lovely things Epcot. Now, we put some parameters around this.
Well, first, I do want to say we have a lovely Armchair Imagineers jingle, but we're not going to play it because I have a feeling no one wants to hear it. So, sorry, guys. But yes, the parameters, I think it has to be an attraction. So that is a reason you're going to that park. It's not like, there's a new kiosk. Like, you know, it could be another World Showcase location. It could be a ride. It could be, I would even go so far as to say you could say a restaurant, but it has to improve the park to a level that people would go there for it. Does that sound good?
I think that's fair enough.
Fair enough.
I don't think anyone would actually go to mine, so
all right, I don't know. You want to take it from the top then?
Yeah, I'm going to go. So I tried to get a little creative, which is always a problem. so I tried to think of something to add to the World Showcase, because I everyone knows I love the World Showcase, but I don't feel like there are enough rides. So I went and I looked through and I'm like, what could we add to the World Showcase ride-wise that's country-specific? But still ties into Disney. In Japan.
Okay.
Ponyo ride.
Ponyo ride.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I love that.
I know. I think it'd be really cool. So like, because you could do some 3D stuff, maybe not like a simulator, maybe even doing it like you go through the story almost like the Spider-Man type ride that's mixed with 3D simulator and like live action things happening. I think that could be really cool, especially with how kind of trippy that movie is in general. And for those of you that don't know, I'm sure most of you do, Ponyo was originally a Japanese animated
Miyazaki
feature
film.
And Disney distributed it here in the US. And
they do most of his movies, yeah.
And there was, they did a casting for voices was American actors. In the U.S.
Yeah, they redid it.
Redubbed it. So, I don't know. I just think that it was a big award-winning film.
Yeah, it's based on The Little Mermaid.
And so I think that's a double tie-in. It's a Disney release, but it's kind of a Little Mermaid-style movie.
If you watch it, you're not going to be like, this is not Ariel.
So I think it would be really cool if we added that to the Japanese pavilion as a ride.
I'd love to see, in general, like the world of Miyazaki. Like, I think that'd be great. There is a museum I think it's a museum, but it has sort of theme park-ish things that are going, that is in Japan. That has, you know, Totoro. It has, obviously, that. It has Spirited Away. It has a lot of
in
his
films. In the actual country of Japan.
In the actual country of Japan. And I would love to see that. My son's a huge Totoro fan, so I think that's a huge plus.
Totoro, is that squirrel?
He's a Totoro. He's giant.
He looks like a giant squirrel.
Kind of, yeah. I love that idea. I think that's a really creative idea. It ties in Disney without being overly Disney, and I think you'd see a lot of people that would, honestly, I know a lot of people in the film nerd community that would make the trek to Epcot if they had a Miyazaki section. So I love that idea. I'm all for it.
I knew you guys didn't think that would
No, would predict I would not that. Have was, predicted it, but I love it.
Especially for me, that's a little bit out of left
I field. Gotta ask a question. Besides, like, sushi and the big giant store, what is there an attraction in Japan?
There is a museum of Japanese things.
They have the store. They have a museum.
They have a museum that does have some anime stuff in it, and other Japanese culture, but
the store is huge, though.
It's essentially a store, and that's awesome. And that's it.
I love that store. I love that store. You can play like roulette with candy there, and you have no idea what you're going to get. Like, well, there's literally no English on this, so let's have fun and see what you get. I love that store. I've stumbled around there a few too many times.
Hot sake burned your mouth.
Oh, it did. That's right. That's a story for another day.
All right.
I love that. And actually, you know what? You should, and this kind of ties into mine a little bit. I'll get there. A park designer created a Totoro dark ride layout like last week. Mm. It went around Twitter. So you should check that out. I'll try to find it.
So, I mean, maybe even you could throw it that way.
Yeah. All right.
As long as there's a design done.
That's a good idea. I think it
Totoro.
Could. That country needs something, clearly, because it's just like, there's a museum. It's owned by that one company, Missy
Elliott.
Yeah, that's the one.
Missyako or something. Because they just own the restaurants in there, and it's like a store. Yeah, I don't get it.
I know nothing about that. I don't know who owns the Japan Pavilion. In my heart, it's owned by...
Mitsubishi.
It's owned by Mitsubishi, makers of fine 80s televisions. What? Will, show me a Mitsubishi pencil right now.
In my hand.
Terry, do you have yours?
I do. I've got mine. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to Imagineer?
I'm ready to Imagineer. And so one of the things that really frustrates me is when you go to a Disney park and there's empty space and there's something that's like, wow, something could be here. And literally in the space that I'm talking about, looking at the map I'm looking at, I think there literally is room for two, maybe three countries there. And it's the area that I'm always confused what it's called, but it's officially called the Outpost.
It's that kind little, of like a safari-looking garb, like huts and crates and stuff.
I think that you go over kind of a bridge coming out of China, then you come to this space, and it's like, wow, something really cool should be here. And then it's like, no, there's a coffee. Gift shop. And like a,
the coffee pastries and
like
whatever those things are called, little carts.
Yeah, so you get there, and there's tons of space. And when I think of Epcot, I think, what would I put there? What would I put around the World Showcase? And if you look at most of the countries... Most of the countries that are there because they have like a tourist draw. They're there because you go and you go, wow, Italy was so cool. I think I'll go to Italy now. So when I'm thinking of countries, there's some countries I'd love to put, like Greece. But Greece probably would, that'll never work out for the country of Greece if they have to fund it.
Yeah.
But I think that I would put the country of Australia there, which I've always really wanted to put it at the Animal Kingdom. But since it's probably never going to happen, let's put it at Epcot. And let's put a ride in that is built on the same ride architecture as Dinosaur and Indiana Jones Adventure. Yeah. Kind of like a Jeep-type Outback adventure where you get in there, you have a safari guide, air quote safari guide since this isn't a video show, that takes you through all of the experiences of Australia and the bumps and you get to...
Safari guide human, safari guide animatronic, safari guide projection.
I think the story is that you're riding with a safari guide or you just hear, or maybe you become the safari guide because the safari guide doesn't
show
up. There's
like that Kong attraction that opened up at Universal. That's a big debate whether the guide of that, because it's kind of a similar idea. It's guide through is going to be a human or you definitely see him. So it's a human or projection. So that's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a human.
I like this idea. I think I have a second ride for this area. Rescuers Down Under.
That's where I thought he was headed.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, so Rescuers Down Under, but it's they just repurpose the Soarin' track, and it's you're flying on that eagle, that big golden eagle.
Oh, that'd be so good, be
incredible! I love that. But I like that ride. Any other deets?
Is there like
to it?
Yeah? Is there like a completion?
A completion? Well, you have the option of one of the things Walt always wanted to do with the Jungle Cruise is make it live animals. Could you do a ride like this with like live animals running around the attraction? Would like you're in your
like a thrill ride?
Could you do it ethically without getting like protested? Probably not.
I don't know. I was just, I imagine that you enter the ride through the, you know, the Sydney Opera House, and you leave the civilization of Sydney to go through the Outback. And obviously the ride is sponsored
by Outback.
Outback. Yeah.
It would be, I think another fascinating thing about that is it would be, I would like to know what the real dining options would be, because clearly Outback is not actually Australian. But I mean, I've never been to Australia. I don't know much about their culture other than shrimp on the Barbie. And
that's obviously a quick service, the shrimp on the Barbie quick service.
But yeah, so I would be curious as to what would be there, because that would be kind of one of those things like, oh, I'd like to go try, see what, you know, what the national dish of
Australia Morocco is. Does for you.
Yeah.
All right. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think.
All right.
I think it'd be a fun addition to a world showcase that definitely needs a little attraction love.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree, and that's why mine ends up also at World Showcase. We could have just called this, come up with an idea for World Showcase.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do like future World Edition later.
Tomorrow, yeah. Or, you know, next week, or a couple months from now. I don't know. We can record it right after this. We got ideas, but you got an idea? Go. All right. So my idea is going to be interesting. I was trying to come up with the same idea for, you know, basically, like when you said rescuers, that's kind of where my head was going. And mine is, okay, so you have Frozen now in Arendelle. Is there another place that's semi-realistic, semi-fictional that you could kind of squeeze in? And this is a little bit based, I'll be honest, on a piece of art that went around, fan art that went around a couple, not even fan art, it's from an art, like a professional artist, but a fan art that went around a few days ago on Twitter. And so mine would be the Inca Empire.
Ooh.
So you'd have, you know, you would cover all the countries in there, so Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru.
So you have like a historic
empire. It sounded
empire.
Like the Animaniacs there. Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru. that's actually pretty good. And so it'd be that. And then inside of that, you would have Kronk's Kitchen, which went around, which is based on the Emperor's New Groove. Because
okay.
He was the Inca king. And Kronk's Kitchen, I retweeted it on our WW Today podcast. I love this artwork. It's hilarious. And it looks just straight out of a menu. So I'm just ripping this off. This is from, I'm going to give some credit. This is from Rob Yeo. So you can follow him at Rob J Y E O and on Twitter. And he built Kronk's Kitchen. Here it is. And they have stuff like Aztecos, which are tacos. enchiladas.
Oh, God.
Pancho's Nachos. Lots of funny stuff. Good prices, too. Things like $2. So I would go with that.
Lots of punny stuff.
Yeah. I would not. But actually, I think The Emperor's New Groove is one of those ones that's had sort of that cult following. It's kind of like a little bit like Ponyo, but a different way. It's a cult comedy following. It kind of keeps coming around. Everyone talks about
like,
it.
To me, but they I never kind really of forget do anything it was with a it. Disney film.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of feels like it wasn't. But it does have a lot. It does have a big fan base, especially around people my age, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. I think, yeah, children of the people that were kids in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched it, side note, go watch the movie called The Sweatbox. It's hard to find. So you have to kind of go into, you know, some shadier internets to find it.
The dark internet.
You don't have to go to the dark internet that far, but you can find copies of The Sweatbox. It's about the making of The Emperor's New Groove, and it is unbelievable. Our buddy Tony Bancroft was in it, who obviously had a big, he designed Kronk, Tom's brother, and you can just see the stress they went through making this movie. With Sting was in part of it. Great movie, find it. It's called The Sweatbox. Probably some language not great for kids, so don't show it to your kids, but great for people that are animation fans. But I like the idea of doing something very ancient also.
Yeah.
Doing something that's a little bit different, not just, oh yeah, here's the culture of this area. It's here's something that is non-existent in some way.
Well, and it kind of gives a new meaning to World Showcase, because instead of it being like world geographically, it's almost like world history,
right?
Which is kind of cool.
I like that a lot, because I had thought of, when I was kind of looking through countries that were in my head, I was like, okay, what's not represented in all of that, like Costa Rica, Bolivia, Colombia, none of those countries are really represented. And you can almost like go into a courtyard and kind of experience all the different, like,
and I just imagine a big animatronic Kronk just being like,
Welcome.
Hey, guys, it's Kronk. Kronk is, I can't do a good, I think that I see a giant Kronk with Patrick Warburton. You know, it's like Patrick Warburton, but he's also kind of, he's a little bit more fancy, that Kronk.
Yeah.
You know, having him be as a character, because we're going to probably not have him in Soren, which is going to be sad when Soren comes back, because according to him, he hasn't recorded anything, and Soren opens in like, you know, 8 weeks. So let's bring Patrick Warburton back and make Kronk's Kitchen.
Well, we could just get the guy from the Art of Animation. What was his name again?
Mark Mosley.
Yeah, we could just get Mark Mosley to do fancy Patrick Warburton. Or maybe he already did record it for Soren.
He recorded some this week.
Oh, Patty Warburton wasn't good to do.
I want an old Patty Warburton shirt. It's a bar.
Patty Warburton.
Another old joke that becomes a t-shirt.
I'd love to see old Patty Warburton, just a picture of Patrick Warburton. It'd be awesome. So I think that's our knees. I love that one. I love it because of mine. I don't really have an attraction idea, but I'm up for suggestions. But I kind of feel like the restaurant's kind of like character dining. It is its own attraction. If you have ideas, let us know. Especially, you know, I think we kind of all three came up with ideas that are not, you know, not straight ahead. They're not Frozen Ever After. We got Inca Empire, you know, Kronk's Kitchen. We've got
anime film with Ponyo.
We got Ponyo. Which was seen mostly in independent cinemas. And we have the Australian Adventure, probably the closest.
It's probably the most mainstream.
Probably the most could actually happen.
Yeah.
But maybe one meetup will do a Kronk. All right, I think that'll do it for just our ideas. I like our ideas.
Yeah.
If you want us to keep doing these shows where we just kind of spat off nonsense, we'd be happy to do it. Let us know what you think of this show. Make sure to tweet us, comment, send us a message on Facebook to it. Contact me however you want to contact us. But before we move on to listener questions with Lynn, we did tease at the beginning, and it wasn't supposed to happen today, but I think we should do it anyway.
Yeah.
People always ask, and we've done a few of those Facebook Lives, and every time we've done that, this one comes up, which is, and it's come up, we had dinner with one of our listeners, and he was like, let me ask you one question.
Got one question for
What's
you guys.
What's with the Nature Boy?
We also got a iTunes review, so if you like the show, go and give us a positive review.
And
but
if
one,
you don't, one, please don't.
Yeah. One reviewer, like, called me out, like, giving himself a nickname, yeah. Nature Boy, like he has any right to that name or something like that. But I do want to clear the air. If anyone listened to the shows where we were introduced, which clearly some people did not, because this is where you would understand it. When I was on with the guys, the way it kind of went down was Matt Hochberg was introducing.
Yeah, we'll find up the episode number.
Was introducing me. And for some reason, Newell went woo in the background, like, and I think it was Newell, as Matt was saying my name. And so Matt, it clicked in his head, like the Ric Flair woo. He just went, and we've got Will, the Nature Boy Haynes. And I followed, I played off of it a little bit and just said, oh, yeah, I've literally always been called that. That's always been. So Matt Hochberg actually dubbed me the Nature Boy, Will Haynes.
That was in episode 1491. It's on the feed. You can go find it there. And maybe we'll play a clip from it at the end of the show.
Yeah. I'll add that in. I'll add the actual clip of it happening so people can hear it.
And Will has been known to just randomly walk around with a feather boa from time to time. So
I sleep in a feather boa.
It's itchy.
It's real weird.
All right, that'll do it. We'll be back with listener questions with Lynn. Something inside telling me there's more out there. All right, I had to take a quick break there to tell you one more time this month about WDW Today Weekend, featuring De Las Puertas, Magic, Music, and Media Festival, in one of those orders. It's a great event we're going to be doing September 29th through October 2nd. Come join us, Logan, Terry, Will, and a myriad of lots of fun guests. You're going to see bands like Off Kilter play at DLP Fest, and band formerly Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. So many great Disney acts. The Dreamfinder are going to be hanging out that night. The day before, we're going to be in Epcot all day doing some meetups throughout the day. Skagway meetup, a benefit at the end of the night. We're all going to go through World Showcase together. We're calling the World Slow Chase. Then we'll be joining you the following night. So it'll be Thursday night. Let's just get straight. Thursday night Epcot. Friday night De Las Puertas. Saturday, all day at the Magic Kingdom. And then we'll send you home with something on Sunday. We're still working out the final details. We got to get with that. We got to get those final details for those, for
gotta
those,
get it
those
together,
freebie
boys.
Events. We got, you know, we already said probably the Skagway meetup. We got Will's Crybaby Fest. Terry's going to be Dumboing it somewhere.
You keep saying Skagway. I wish it was a Segway meetup.
Meetup.
We're going to be doing lots of stuff. Maybe Segways. If Will pays for it, there you go.
probably not going to happen.
Moneybags Will is going to pay for the Segway meetup.
Woo!
All right. All the information can be found on dlpfest.com, or you can find it straight from our website, or contact Off to Neverland at GoToNeverland.com. Tell them you want a WDW Today Weekend / De Las Puertas package, because they still have front row seats available. They're not available anywhere else except for there. Join with a bunch of other listeners. We're going to have a blast at WDW Today Weekend. And that's just the way.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, it's time for listener questions, and now, hey, Will's got his finger up in the air.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand to speak, because that's how we do it around here. Last show we talked about, or a couple of shows ago, in Sloppy Odds Makers, we were talking about different things, and one thing I brought up was how long the Fultons reboot would last. Well, now we know what that reboot is, and I think I was kind of right, because it isn't Fultons anymore.
That's
so
right.
I just wanted to get everybody's opinion really quick on the new proposed, is it Paddle Boat? Is that what it's called?
Paddlefish?
Paddlefish. Yes. Paddle Boat is what it actually is. It is a paddle boat, like old steamship.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what do you guys think? What about the concept art? I know I saw it yesterday, and kind of the revamp of it.
Yeah, I'm actually a decent sized fan, I'd say, of Fulton's. I always liked it. I haven't eaten there a while, but when I did, I always enjoyed it. The concept art kind of throws me off. The very dark ship. I guess it does fit a little bit into like the new buildings, but it kind of takes away some of the flair, I feel like, the fun. I'll give it a try when it gets there and see what I think, but it wasn't like it went from Fulton's Crab House to the Paddlefish, and I was like, man, I gotta try it. Like, I feel like that branding is just kind of like, all right, fine, whatever. The Boathouse, I guess, you know, I feel like that's a better brand than Paddlefish, but we'll see.
Guys?
I remember walking into Fulton's Crab House as a child and having my mind blown that I was somehow eating on a boat, you know?
I don't know why that made me laugh.
But the new concept art looks like it's gone from this cool, like, boat that you eat on to, like, wow, this used to be a cool boat, and now they're trying it really hard to make it look like it's not a boat anymore. It looks like the designers from, like, a Loft Hotel designed it, not...
Yeah. Yeah, it's like modern, uber-modern, but with a boat flair.
Swanky boats.
Boat
Super
flare?
Modern riverboat.
Yeah.
Modern
the nature,
riverboat.
The nature boy boat flair.
That's... Some might say that. I would never say that. Lynn, what do you think?
I'm trying to figure out why they want two seafood-based restaurants within 50 yards of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's going to be like the seafood district, in which case, you know, you're walking by guys that are throwing fish like in the Seattle fish market.
Now, that, know, I would pay for that.
If that's the entertainment,
they're not going to do it. It'd be fake fish.
But that's the thing I'm trying to figure out. Like, why would they do that there? Granted, they're on a boat, so there's a limited number of concepts that you could sell to Disney vacationers. I mean, you're not gonna put a steak place on the boat because cattle and, well, maybe you could, but it's not gonna be Japanese food, right?
But it looks like they're changing the structure in general, so it really wouldn't have had to be. I mean, not totally changing it, but they're definitely looks more like more than just paint. You know, like they're
modifying the boat a little bit, but.
The other interesting thing I heard about this was that Fulton's is only the tip of the iceberg. There's my boat reference.
Nice. A Titanic reference, actually.
So what I've heard was Wolfgang Puck and Wolfgang Puck and Bongos have been given ultimatums to within the next couple of months announce a complete redo and shut down while you do the redo of your restaurants, including new kitchens to bring them up to date, or they'll turn the property over to someone else.
Both Wolfgang Puck's or just the restaurant, the
cafe, the big place, and then Bongos. And what they're saying is you know, you've got to update your the building. But it's interesting because the ultimatums were given to all of the older Disney Springs restaurants. The newer ones, obviously, they've got the show kitchens, they've got the modern amenities and stuff like that. But what they're what everyone else is saying is, you know, these old places and these kitchens cost like $10 million.
Yeah, it's not cheap to redo a kitchen, because yeah, it's not just throw a stove in there. It's the layout, it's the efficiency that they have to look into, all those things. I mean, so you have to hire contractors and engineers.
It's the same as Lynn's Space Mountain kitchen. It costs about $10 mil.
It's almost like – so that's the thing. So I've heard that Wolfgang Puck doesn't want any part of that. Bongos doesn't have that kind of money. So Disney – and Disney might be fine with that, that they'll get other people in and other people who want to take a chance on it. So
take a chance on me.
It's fine, whatever.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of options down there now that I think are really good. So hopefully it comes back with some cool flair. But you know what it reminds me of is if you go to Legoland and look to the left when you're pulling in the parking lot, there's like an old abandoned old Florida riverboat restaurant.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what the current flair looks. Because I believe that was white and now it has just deteriorated into a dark shade of gray.
Like
yeah, because it's just been rotting weather on the side of old of Cypress Gardens, whatever it is, that's over there. So, all right, we'll get to the important part here now. I'm glad you brought that up, though.
Yeah, cool. I just wanted to throw that
good
out there.
We've got lots of questions coming in. Some of you guys have sent emails, Facebook messages, Facebook comments, tweets. We're going to get to some of them today. We're going to start with some emails that are a little long, but we'll get to them. All right, this comes in from Wesley Ryan Davenport.
Wesley Ryan Davenport sounds like a name that needs to be read in a...
It may be Wesley Ryan from Davenport. But there's no comma.
But if his name was Wesley Ryan Davenport, that sounds like a very highfalutin name.
That's like a...
You know someone in that family has the name Thurston. You just know it.
Exactly.
It's a soap opera name. It's a soap opera name.
I also feel like he was possibly one of the minor actors on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, that's true. That sounds close.
Oh, yeah.
He was in that episode, the Ski Lodge episode.
Oh, I thought it was the Bible Club episode.
Oh, that was most of the episodes. True. Season one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the listener. Now listen, we're going to offend him because this is the first line. I'm a new listener to the show. Great. Thank you.
And sorry, no Wesley longer. Ellen Davenport.
And I'm bummed it took me so long to find it. Great stuff. And I appreciate all the advice and tip. My question today is more of a request for advice. It's a doozy. So here we go. In July, I'll be traveling to Orlando from Southern California with my wife's family, totaling 15 people. That's 9 adults, 6 kids aged 1 through 9. In the past, I've had experience planning several trips for my family in smaller groups and lived and worked at Walt Disney World for about 1.5 years. I feel pretty well-rounded on the general resort knowledge and know-how, but this upcoming trip feels different. I'm the go-to trip planner in the family. We've been coordinating and arranging thus far. We utilize touringplans.com, there you go, and the crowd calendar, and I have a spreadsheet attached, which I didn't open, I'm sorry, and everything. We'll be staying at the Port Orleans Riverside for 9 nights, July 15th through 24th. And we have our park tickets and our FastPass reservations date is quickly approaching. This part all works for me. So I guess here we get to the question.
Can I point one thing out real quick? There's a lot of nines in this. Ages 1 through 9, 9 adults, 9 nights. Keep going.
Okay. Don't turn it upside down. How did you guys balance the FastPass distribution among such a large group? I think we discussed this before. I don't want to be strictly regimented, as spontaneity in the parks goes a long way in creating genuine moments and memories for my family, but the pressure of having FastPasses available so far in advance is more chilling than meeting Harold in an ice cave on the Matterhorn. I don't want each day to be turned into kids versus adults tug of war. At the same time, I want my brother-in-law, who's a WDW virgin, to get the most out of each day. Bear in mind, all of us are currently DLAPers and have been to Disneyland hundreds of times. What would you do? Also, speaking of my brother-in-law, who's never visited Disney World, if you had the opportunity to take a WDW newbie to each park to experience only one attraction, which attraction would you choose and why? Okay, let's pick one of those questions.
I think we just we reiterate the fast pass
let's do that
idea,
one, yeah.
Like how to plan for it with that big of a group.
Yeah, so Lynn, you probably know this more than anyone, and people have kind of sent in their feedback. I believe we did discuss this on a previous show, but how do you balance fast pass distribution when they are a party of 15?
It depends on the attraction. There are certain things like Space Mountain where the 1-year-old's not going to go on it, right? So you still may end up with, like, you know, having to get 12 fast passes. 12 fast passes are doable. The thing that's going to happen is you may not have all of the times available, especially if you book closer in than the 60 days out. But if Wesley's booking at the 60-day mark, he should still have decent availability for most of the big attractions 60 days out. So if he wants to do Space Mountain, he wants to do Splash Mountain, he wants to do Big Thunder Mountain, you know, and you should be able to get those. Is it Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, a party of 12 or 15? That's probably not going to happen. But you can still do it. And then the other parks too. I mean, you could do Spaceship Earth. You could do Soarin'. You know, you can get fast passes for those. You'll probably be able to get either one of the mission spaces or something else in July. Frozen should be open by then. Maybe you'll get a few fast passes for that. But that's what I would say. And the other thing you can do is they don't have to be exactly the same as long as some of the time overlaps. So maybe there's not a party of 15 reservation available for 1 to 2 p.m., but maybe there's 8 from 1 to 2 and 7 from 1:15 to 2:15, where you've got a 45-minute overlap. It's another thing to look for. Yeah, it's another thing to look for. So, and, you know, there's grace periods and stuff like that in there. And worst-case scenario is if you can't get times that match, walk up to a cast member and explain the situation. They can override it.
Oh.
Right?
Good to know. Yeah. They have the authority. Well, Harold...
That's what I would do.
Not Harold. Harold is the ice cave monster.
Harold Wesley Ryan Davenport.
Wesley, I don't know. Does anyone else have any feedback? I feel like that answers that question. Yeah. Lane's the master in that part. Terry, you got something?
I do want to reiterate. He said a line that really hit home with me. He said, "Spontaneity in the parks goes a long way in creating genuine moments and memories." I 100% agree, and that's why I know when you have a larger party, you actually do probably need to do the fast pass route more, but I do really like your feelings, and I applaud you, Wesley Ryan Davenport, for going that route and trying to look for those genuine moments with spontaneity in Disney.
His second question was, if we had the opportunity to take a Walt Disney World newbie to each park to experience only one attraction, which attraction would it be and why? So let's just each take a park and give an attraction. So, Terry, why don't you
take Animal Kingdom.
All right, Terry, go.
Absolutely the safari, especially if you're from Disneyland.
No, I'm kidding.
In fact, if you're from Disneyland, I would spend a lot of time in that park because there's nothing like it on the West Coast.
I guess Lynn, why don't you take it?
Pick a park. See, I'll go last. I will. It's a WWE newbie. So if he's been to Disneyland, then I probably would not say Soarin' and Epcot. I would say Spaceship Earth instead. But if you've never been to a park, I would say Soarin'.
All right, Will.
I'll do Magic Kingdom, and I would say Pirates of the Caribbean.
That was my choice. Yeah, good.
You know, it's a classic, and one of the most memorable rides I think I've ever done.
All right, let's. Then I'll take Studio. So I would say, since you are a Disneylander, Rock and Roller Coaster. I think that's an easy go-to, because I think you have Tower of Terror, you got Star Tours, you have Toy Story Mania. It's kind of the last remaining of ones you don't have. Let's go.
It's one of the last remaining, period.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go with the Rock and Roller Coaster. You can't go wrong with it. All right. Thank you so much. Moving on. You want to take the next question, Will?
Yeah.
Let's just do another email. Then we may move on to some Facebooks and Twitters.
Greetings, gentlemen. My family, which is myself, husband, two boys, ages 9 and 11, will be in Central Florida in late October to enjoy a few days at Universal, a four-night DCL cruise on the Dream, and then we will end our visit with a two-night stay at the Poly. We have a standard view deluxe studio booked at the Poly Villas for the day we debark the Dream for two nights. We are planning to go to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party on that same debarkation night, and then the next day we will enjoy a full day at Magic Kingdom before heading home the following morning. My question is concerning check-in time at the Poly Villas. Given that we expect to be off the Dream and on Walt Disney World property by mid-morning, is there any way of requesting early check-in? I know check-in is usually 3 p.m., but since we're off the ship and at the Poly well before this time, can we anticipate checking in early, or is there anything we can do with our reservation to request this? I have the touring plan subscription, so I know I could do a room number request via their app. However, if this will impact being able to check in early, I think we'd prefer having access to any room that fits our reservation rather than specific building a room number. So what do you guys think?
This is actually a great question. First of all, check-in for DVCs is 4 p.m., 3 p.m. for the regular part of the hotel. But Jamie's right in that if you ask for the first available room, which is what I would do in my room request, just say, I'll take the first available room, first thing you've got open.
Yeah.
That will override any other request you have made. So if you show up at the lobby and you check in like at 10 a.m. and they ask you if you want the first available room, what they're really saying is, do you want us to cancel the request that you made previously for, you know, a garden view room or whatever,
right,
and just give you the first thing available? Because a lot of times that's what the family wants, especially if they're traveling with children. That will override whatever request you made. But if that's the request that you made, then send that to the you can still fax that in 5 minutes in advance using the service, or you can, you know, do it on Disney's website. Just say, look, I'll take the first thing available. And then you should – what they should do is book you in a room that was not occupied the night before if there's one available.
So they don't have to do the cleaning and
exactly, the things exactly. like that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I say, if you want to be absolutely certain, you could just book the room the night before you arrive too, and you know, it's a time versus money thing. That would guarantee you that you have access to the room if you show up at 9 a.m. No questions asked. It costs a little bit more money, but it is a guarantee. And I've done that.
Yeah, I have too. So if you have your family and you need that room for sure, that's probably the best bet is to do that. I mean, yeah, it's obviously spending more money, especially if you're staying at Poly, one of these, to not stay there. But if you really are concerned with, look, like my kids have to have, especially the little ones have to have like early naps. And if not, then we're, you know, screwed up for the rest of the day. So it's worth the extra money.
Do you think mentioning that you just got off a Disney cruise would help at all in that? Or is it just pretty much first come, first serve kind of thing?
It couldn't hurt. I think they ask you what your approximate arrival time is going to be, so they know when to start sending a text. But it doesn't hurt to say that you're specifically getting off the cruise, because then they will know not only will you be there, but your luggage will be there as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is a follow up. I'm just going to throw this one out, and we'll cut it from the Twitter segments. But this is from Frank. Kind of mentions what Will mentions. This is from Frank at Snowgrump on Twitter from Louisiana. He said, "Going on my first DCL in January, should I go to the parks before or after?" Or both before and after. Well, let's cut up both before and after, because, of course, why would you not? Should he go before or after? Are there any negatives or positives to doing either way?
We normally, when we go on a cruise, we typically will, before the cruise, arrive the night before and stay at on property for one night. And then that way we can kind of know that we're going to get to the boat pretty early in the day. And then we typically do the majority of our stay afterwards. That's just a preference, mainly because that last day, when you get off the boat, you know, you have to get up and have breakfast early. And it's just a real bummer of a vacation that I have to get up early and then go home. So if you get up early and you go to Disney World, that's awesome. But if you have to go to the airport, it kind of seems anticlimactic. That's just my personal preference.
I've not done a DCL yet, DCL cruise yet. But I mean, personally, I would think I would like to do the parks before. So that way I could get on the boat and just relax instead of getting off a boat and then having all that relaxation time and then trying to go gung-ho through the parks. That's just a personal preference I think I would like. So just a little bit of a different perspective from Terry.
All right, Lynn.
I would do the cruise after the parks too, because I think it's more relaxing. I agree.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Also, you don't have that whole seasickness business. The only time I ever got sick at a theme park attraction was coming off a boat and going straight to do the Incredible Hulk coaster at Universal. So I would say that do it before. I like the idea of doing it before. Yeah, because I will say this. There is
you know
nothing.
What they call that seasickness, Logan? Going to ride the Hulk after a Disney cruise? Disney karma.
True.
Sticks with you.
I will say to that, though, I've done it both ways. I prefer that because I think Will's right. There's nothing, and I think if those of you who have not done a Disney Cruise Line cruise, you'll notice that it is a completely different beast, and there's probably, it's a very, especially if you're a parent, a completely different animal when it comes to relaxation. It's actually where Disney World can be a very hectic and stressful event. Once you get on that boat, once you get through the process of checking in, I feel like it's some of the most relaxing time you'll probably have and the most fun you'll have. So I would tend to lean on that. Let's move back on to, should we take, you want to, let's take one more from, or Terry, you got one in front of you?
Yeah, I could pull one up. And I have no idea the answer to this. So I'm excited to see if Lynn knows. Brandon Dees asks, I have a question. What happens to cars left overnight in a theme park parking lot? I would imagine with park hoppers, cars get left at all the times. Is Disney quick to tow?
You know, I think overnight, if you show up, you know, the next morning, they understand that it's going to take some time for you to coordinate either a tow truck or some sort of mechanic to come out and investigate your car. I would suspect you would probably have that day to do it. They may place a sticker on your tire or something just to note the fact that it's been there for one day. You know, I think after probably two nights they would tow it, but one night I think you're actually fine. I mean, there's no the worst case scenario is they would bring it to something like the car care center over at the Magic Kingdom. But yeah, they're not going to tow it, you know, as soon as the park closes or whatever.
Yeah,
I've actually gone back the next morning to pick up a car, like late the next morning.
Yeah, I think I've done the same thing, like pretty much that night, but very early in the morning. And you got to think also, people, they probably don't want to, there's a certain process of people being responsible, probably have been, let's say they've been at Epcot all day, and they decide, I probably shouldn't be driving, and Uber home or Uber to the hotel or take the monorail. So you got to think there's somewhat of them having to encourage responsible actions, and hopefully that's the thought. No guarantee answer to that, but like I said, probably you at least got a night. So
yeah, I would think that the last thing Disney in general wants you to take away from your vacation is that they towed you. So I feel like they probably err on the side of a little bit of grace, but I wouldn't push your limits. Like, I'm just going to park here for a week and see what happens.
Very good. And that'll do it for today's show. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Terry. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And that guy's Lynn Test. I just wanted to reiterate people's names.
We don't do it enough on this show.
We get so much feedback about people not knowing our names.
People confuse your voices.
Which is bizarre.
So let's do something right now. Okay. If you're Will, say something now.
Now.
If you're Terry, say something now.
Now.
It is kind of similar.
I hear them completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
We have very white voices.
It's like space without the stars.
It's like, it's, no, you can't get any more white.
None more white.
It's like space with only stars.
Only stars.
Yes, it is. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter.
OC.
They probably don't want to be associated with OC.
Okay.
OC.
That's okay.
I spell kilter with a C.
Okay.
It's like Celtic.
Off Kilter, you can find their website, offkilter.net, and find their Facebook page. Like them. They're going to be doing shows all throughout the Florida area, but also all the way on the road, and they're going to be obviously joining us at De Las Puertas. So thanks to Off Kilter. Thanks to Off to Neverland. If you want to plan a vacation, you want that free dining, all you got to do is go to Neverland.com.
GOTONEVERLAND.COM.
And as Will likes to say,
all you got
to
do is spell pack.
And we've said a lot of thanks to Virtual Mickey and Kingdom Strollers. You can find their links on our website at wdwtoday.com. We will talk to you on the next show. Father Roven dies hard.